I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart Robbins. And today I'm reading a piece by a dear friend of mine that I've never met in person, named Lelia Gowland. Now that we're all virtual, people understand how that works, but she and I met virtually before virtual was really a thing. Lelia, she has on her site that it rhymes with Amelia. She is a writer. She writes for like Forbes and Bazaar, NBC News. She wrote a book on negotiation called You Got This, The Ultimate Negotiation Guide for Professional Women. She's a master negotiator. I always contact her when I need to negotiate something. She's a public speaker, and she's just a general badass. She hails from the New Orleans area, and she has a newsletter that I read every week. It's fantastic. And one of her newsletters caught my eye a couple weeks ago, and I contacted her to see if I could read it to you all. It's called I'm Coming Out, and there's a little music note by it. So you have to imagine the Diana Ross version, I'm Coming Out. Hi, Laura, it says. Recently, a friend asked when it was that I fully accepted my sexual orientation. I immediately noticed an oh shit sensation. A wave of nausea and constriction in my throat. I realized I, parenthetically, still hadn't. For years, I defined myself as a whatever based on this 2013 Modern Love essay by Maria Bello. I felt seen as she wrote about her fluid sexual orientation. Thrilled to see her description of a healthy family that was deeply grounded in love, but didn't look the way you might expect. I've always said that I don't have a type. In years prior to reading Bellow's essay, I'd been in relationships with a gorgeous woman in film, a sexy man in urban planning who's transgender, and a hyper-masculine FBI agent with arm muscles the size of my thighs. Defining myself as whatever felt like I was living beyond categories, like I wasn't letting terminology define my sense of self. It was akin to the scene in Schitt's Creek, where David explains his sexuality by saying, "I like the wine, not the label." But my friend's question helped me realize that avoiding labels, for me, was a form of hiding. I felt myself undeserving of the label queer. I present as super straight, married to the delightful cisgender man who is also the father of my child. For too long, I wondered whether I could claim this identity without having suffered for it. I treated hardship as a sign of worthiness, all the while being in the closet had brought its own kind of suffering. When I was development director for a nonprofit, a funder that prioritized diversity, asked how many members of the staff identified as LGBTQ+, I sincerely asked my openly queer colleague if I was queer enough to count. I felt I needed permission. The people I worked with had met my male fiancé, Cole, but most of them didn't know that my beloved girlfriend existed. That's the other piece of my identity that kept me in the closet. I'm polyamorous, or poly for short. For me, that means that my husband and I share a lifelong commitment to one another and to our family. We also date other people. When Cole and I started this journey, we were the only people we knew striving to balance commitment and openness in our relationship. For many of our friends and family, polyamory was a totally new concept. They'd say, "I could never do that," or "I'd get too jealous." I'll use the pizza metaphor to explain how the conversations usually went. Me: Cole and I are going out for pizza on Thursday night. Friend: "Oh my God, I could never eat pizza." Me: "That's cool. I was just saying that we like it." Friend: "I'm lactose intolerant." Me: "Wait, what? I didn't invite you." It seemed like Cole and my relationship model was a threat or indictment of theirs. Nope, we just like pizza. These days, Cole and I are out as poly to most people we interact with. While some friends and family still express apprehension, the reaction is different than it used to be. One friend recently told me, "Everyone I know is doing some form of ethical non-monogamy, E&M in Tenderspeak. I feel like the weird one for wanting monogamy." While we've closed the relationship at various points to focus on family or career, I wouldn't have gotten married if the commitment came with an expectation of lifelong monogamy. Cole says he might have, but would likely have been miserable. The poly lifestyle works beautifully for us. But 11 years into this life-affirming, stable poly relationship, I've only recently realized just how closeted I've been. For years, I've negotiated with myself, feeling safer in the more progressive neighborhoods in New Orleans. I'd reason, "I can be out in Bywater, but not in the Garden District." I told Cole, "Maybe you can be on a poly dating app, but not on Tinder. It's too public." I felt nervous holding my girlfriend's hand in public. The sheer amount of energy it takes to hide or conform is exhausting. Even though it's safe-ish for me to come out to y'all, my beloved newsletter community, I've written and rewritten past essays to ensure that I don't sound queer or like I'm dating someone other than my husband. That energy I could have spent writing or making the content itself stronger instead of strategizing about how to hide. I could have used that energy on literally anything else, like watching the Great British Bake Off or staring at clouds in the damn sky, anything other than spiraling in shame. My shame confuses me. I've been advocating on behalf of LGBTQ plus communities since 2002 when I wrote an essay for my high school paper admonishing my classmates for saying "that's so gay." In college, I marched in pride parades and led trainings to help educators better support queer and trans students. And the nonprofit I worked for, the one where I wasn't sure whether or not I counted as queer, did I mention it was focused in part on LGBTQ plus rights? Shaking my head. How could I celebrate these identities in others but struggle to accept them within myself? Now I recognize all of the internalized queerphobia and polyphobia I needed to work through. When I first decided to come out to y'all, a set of three lines kept popping into my head with some frequency. Don't share. Keep hiding. Stay safe. Even with boatloads of privilege coming from a place of financial security and independence, sharing this feels risky as hell. My coach asked whether staying in the closet felt constrictive or expansive. Immediately my answer was clear. Hiding is constrictive. I've been choking on this. As hateful anti-trans and anti-gay bills emerge in state legislatures across the country, including here in Louisiana, I feel an urgency and a responsibility to share my truth. When that wave of nausea hit me after my friend asked about accepting my sexuality, I knew that it was time. I'm done hiding. A reader recently told me, "Your writing is an antidote to shame." Perhaps sharing my identities and my continuous efforts to embrace them will help some of you feel seen and supported. This essay is for all of us who have navigated an invisible identity, for all of us who've wondered if we counted, who haven't felt seen. It's for all of us who felt that we needed to hide part of ourselves, for all of us who are still grappling with our identities or feel unsafe being our full selves. Writing this essay has helped me move through some of my own residual shame, and sharing it with y'all, I want to say, I'm here, I see you, I love you, and I'm extending that love to myself as well. Big exhales and lots of love, Lilia.
Honey, that was such an amazing episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's time for some Patreon shout-outs, though.
Yes, it is. Time for Patreon shout-outs.
For some people supporting the podcast.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much to our patrons who support us on Patreon. And the first person we're going to shout out is a new podcast. It's not a new podcast. It's new to us.
It's new to us. And an upcoming guest.
Yes. It is called How to Do the Pot Podcast.
I just love that name. How to Do the Pot.
How to Do the Pot. You heard that right.
Yep.
So check this out. 3 out of 4 women in the U.S. have access to legal weed.
Huh.
But most women still have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So How to Do the Pot Podcast is demystifying cannabis for women.
And for men.
And for men.
Yep.
Every week you can listen for fun, short episodes that answer all the questions women secretly Google about cannabis.
Okay, we want to clear this up a little bit because I went into this thinking this was just about pot, but this is about the medicinal use of marijuana, right?
It is. How to Do the Pot shares women's personal stories and advice from experts to help them with solutions around stress, sleep, sex, and chronic pain.
All right.
With the goal of helping women feel more confident in their choices about cannabis.
This is an overdue conversation.
Yes.
In my mind.
So if you're ready for practical advice about weed by women for women, listen to How to Do the Pot wherever you get your podcasts. So our second one is Mercedes Cusick, LMFT.
Right on. Mercedes is back.
Mercedes. We love Mercedes, right?
We do. Mm-hmm.
And her family. She is a licensed trauma therapist and certified EMDR therapist. Okay, what's that mean, right? That means that she's had some advanced training in complex and developmental trauma, and she's doing something pretty incredible called EMDR intensives.
Yeah, this is pretty unique, isn't it?
It is. It's a concierge curated program that's just for you, everyone who's listening. EMDR intensives range from a half day to several days and are the equivalent of 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow.
Wow. Now, some people may ask, what is EMDR?
Well, I'll try to give you an explanation.
Break it down, honey.
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. By simply stimulating both sides of the brain, it helps heal the brain and desensitizes traumatic or upsetting memories. It's also been used to effectively treat a wide range of mental health problems such as PTSD, depression, anxiety, grief, and phobias.
Ooh. So what's cool about these intensives is that they allow you to unpack the past and the pain without having to deal with everyday stuff like carpooling and morning meetings and presentations.
And this intensive format decreases treatment time and saves you a considerable amount of money in the long run.
Exactly. So if you want to start feeling better now, and why wouldn't you?
Right.
Then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercedes Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today.
That's right. And don't live in the pain of past traumas any longer than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist, is located in Woodland Hills, California. Her website is www.mercedescusick.com.
Very impressive spelling as usual, hon.
Shout out to our friend Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yep. She's been a show favorite from the very beginning.
Yes, she has.
And she is supporting us by letting us shout her out every week.
You know, and that's such a cool thing. Like, she is a patron of us. She has joined our Patreon at this level, so she gets her name shouted out in every episode. And she's not even really promoting anything right now.
No, you know, she's actually, you know, bought a few of the books,
yes.
Gone on people's websites, become part of communities.
She's a true only one in the room roomie.
Absolutely.
Member.
And
yes.
A friend. So we love you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And thank you to all of our Patreons and all the new ones who just joined. Some of them don't get shouted out. You know, it depends on what level you join, but we appreciate everybody. The podcast needs the support. So we appreciate you.
Thank you, everyone.
On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.